The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
But I wanted to open up the show with this, and I think that this is a very interesting little stat that was thrown out yesterday. Because, listen, we all know here in the state of Arkansas and what we were able to see over the weekend in the Super Regional and also even the Regional at Baum Stadium was just the amount of fans that showed up. And that's not surprising to us. And I think that we'll both agree, Tommy. It's not surprising that the University of Arkansas and the fans that showed up for the event, that was a lot. I mean, I think that that was expected. We expected at least 10,000 people each game. That wasn't something anything new. But
correct.
When they showed out as well as they did, it really got the attention of people who were doing the games on ESPN. It got the attention of those who were covering college baseball, just saying how an electric of an atmosphere it is, not only just a very well-attended game. Well, it's even going into the College World Series, because this is something that's just crazy to me. You have the games that are being, of course, individual tickets for the games in the College World Series being sold. And most of the games are $60 a piece, which is about what you'd expect for the championship series when it comes to college baseball. But one game is over double that price. At $125, Arkansas and Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, some people have their theories behind it, but what it looks like and what most of the people who have been talking about this are saying, it's because the Arkansas Razorback fans are buying them up at such a rapid rate. There are going to be more Razorback fans in Omaha than any other team. That's impressive.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, Arkansas, go through the list of teams. I hadn't even thought about this yet. We haven't done this research. Who is, from a driving standpoint, and I know Northwest Arkansas is not the only place there's baseball fans in our state. That's the closest point to Omaha, and that's where the school's located, is in the northwest corner. But geographically, who's closer? Obviously, Texas and Texas Tech and Florida in your half of the bracket aren't. Geographically, you're the closest to Omaha, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for your fans to drive. On the other side, Mississippi State would not be, Oregon State would not be, North Carolina would not be. Who am I leaving out? The eighth team. It'll come to me in a minute. But I'm just saying Arkansas is obviously either the closest or second closest to Omaha. So it would make sense in some ways for Arkansas to have, a great showing of fans there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and it's just
And then you add to it the emotion of Arkansas, Texas. It's on a Sunday where people can attend and not miss work and make a weekend of it. And, you can reasonably get back. I mean, it's going to be a late night, and you're going to be, blurry-eyed Monday morning at work, but you could theoretically go to that game and still be home at a decent enough hour to make work Monday morning.
By the way, the other side of the bracket is North Carolina, Oregon State, Washington, and Mississippi State.
Washington.
So, Washington's other one.
Arkansas, geographically, Washington was the one I left out. Arkansas, 450-ish miles from campus. What Phil said, 423, but it's under 500 miles for a lot of fans in western Arkansas, River Valley up to northwest Arkansas. So, there's going to be fans. And, again, this isn't something that Arkansas gets to do on an annual basis or every other year. Now, it's gotten to a point Arkansas has kind of put themselves back into a mix where every 3 to 4 seasons – you're kind of back there. Been there 2012, 2015. Now you're back there in 18. Now before that, 2009, 2004. So you can kind of see a pattern that it's not forever and ever, amen, that you don't get to go. But it's not every year. It's every 4 to 5 years, 3 to 4 years, something like that you're going to get to go. Texas is back in this thing. Now, they've been there a lot, more than any other program, 36 times. But, they've got a huge alumni. And that's the other thing with Texas. They got alumni all over the place, all over the country. It's just a huge school. So, they're going to show up in big numbers. So, yeah, I would expect that to be a hot ticket, particularly because of the time of the day they're playing, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
I think that might be the first time that anyone has ever said that Arkansas geographically is the closest to anything. Because normally, if it was
right.
any other significant athletic event, no matter, even if you look back to Arkansas in the Final Four in basketball the most recent time they played it in 94-95. One was in Charlotte, one was in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't get any further away than what those were.
And you don't just, I mean, average fan doesn't just go and get online and go to Expedia or American Air or wherever. And you don't just fly direct to Omaha very easily, number one. You're going to fly to Dallas. You're going to go to Atlanta. You're going to get a flight to Omaha. So if you're at one of those other fan bases, you know, if you're coming from Gainesville, Florida or somewhere, it's easy. But you're going to have to fly. You know, Arkansas is really, if you look at it, the only drivable fan base to Omaha.
That's a good point.
I mean, Texas, I mean, that's a haul. I mean, you could get there. And, again, Texas has alumni, and they have fans all over the country. They're a big fan base. But, you know, you look at where some of these other schools are located. If you're, you know, a Mississippi State fan, you know, that's a decision. You're not – and the thing is, you can go from Arkansas to Omaha and watch one game and come back and then make another trip to Omaha. You know, it's doable because it's a, depending on what part of the state you live in, 6.5, 8-hour drive, depending on where you're coming from. Maybe a little longer if you're in Central Arkansas or South Arkansas, but it's a doable drive if you wanted to go for Sunday's game and turn around and, well, if they win, I'll go back for Friday or, you know, you could do it, you know. These other fan bases, if you're coming from Mississippi or you're coming from Florida, you're making a choice. I'm going to go watch a couple of games, and then I'm going to have to go back. Because most people ain't going to be able to, you know, only 1% of fans are going to be able to go and hang out for, you know, till the bitter end for their team. So, you know, you got to make some choices at the College World Series. Well, Arkansas has a little bit of an edge for getting fans there.
Yeah, and it just makes me think, like, and I know maybe we can expound a little bit this further. Because Omaha's a great place. I mean, that's if you think of the College World Series, you think of Omaha because that's where it's always been. And you think about the electric atmosphere and all that stuff. But it just makes you wonder, though, because you compare it to other sports, too. Does it need to be in Omaha every year? You know, because some people, like in college football, it's always changing for the championship. In college basketball, it's always changing. NFL, NBA, I mean, there's never a site where this is where the championship game's at every year. The only place that does that is college baseball, essentially. And, you know, it just makes me wonder that if here in the future, since baseball has grown so much, college baseball, and how really people are starting to latch on to it, maybe do they start deciding to have it in different venues and whatnot?
They, you know, Omaha's had it for, what, 30-plus years? I don't even know.
Ever since I can remember.
I know when they moved it to TD Ameritrade, I think it was a 25-year agreement, so it's not moving. One of the reasons I think, you know, and this is just me – you know, thinking out loud, but it makes sense because you think about a lot, and I see a lot of, you know, championship events at lower levels, NAIA, you know, Division II. They have them in the middle part of the country. And why is that? Well, because those teams don't always get to fly in to play in those events because they don't have the budget, the sport doesn't have the budget. Well, when college baseball was deciding years and decades ago where to have their event, Omaha made sense because it was kind of in the middle of the country, right?
Yeah.
And baseball, certainly back then, has changed, as you said, as baseball's grown, the revenue's grown, it's on TV more, schools have more money. But, you know, it hadn't been very many years that Arkansas has been flying to a lot of games. They have in recent years, but they've done a lot more games by bus than they have by plane in the history of that program, I promise you. So, you know, that was probably one of the deciding reasons. I'm guessing on that, but I think I'm probably, you know, that was in the recipe somewhere that, you know, Omaha is kind of, whether you're coming from Pepperdine out on the West Coast or whether you're coming from North Carolina, you know, at least it's kind of a meeting point in the middle, and not from one coast to the other, because it hadn't been very long that baseball teams got to start flying places.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty good educated guess. And, you know, that's one of – you mentioned how it's just – it's difficult to fly into a place like Omaha. That's another reason why, you know, it may – and again, I'm not saying this needs to happen soon because I don't – and you mentioned the contract, and it is a very long one. But maybe just here in the future they start thinking about, okay, because how cool would it be? Just imagine, how cool would it be if they had an agreement with some MLB stadium that where that team was on the road for an extended period? Just like how cool that would be if you're a college baseball player to go play in an MLB stadium for your championship.
But you think about the scheduling that they have to do to make it work with just a minor league team.
That's true, too.
Because this event begins this Saturday, the 16th. Well, you know they've taken over the stadium several. I mean, they don't just show up on the 16th and start putting this event together. They've, how many days ahead of it have they had control of the stadium to get everything set up? You know, probably 2 to 3 at least. And then, you know, the event's not over till after the championship round, a couple of weeks later. That's a minor league team that's on the road for, you know, probably 3 weeks. And that's something that they're willing to do to have this event in their stadium. Have you been to the college – have you been up to this event in previous years when Arkansas's been there?
No, no, I personally have not.
I've been a couple of – I went once to the old Rosenblatt and once to TD Ameritrade in 15, the last time Arkansas was up there, and Rosenblatt in 09. And this city totally embraces it. I mean, there's – Omaha is all about some College World Series.
Oh, yeah.
That now, it's a little different the years that you're having the Olympic swimming trials there. And that place is nuts. And now, the one thing, you know, hotel rooms are sky high.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Omaha has a lot going on. It's a bigger city, I think, that some people realize until they get there. But this city fully embraces, I mean, the whole city fully embraces this event, and it's all about the College World Series.
No doubt
about
it.
Because they know what it does for them, you know, financially, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a huge economical boost, too, to that area. In fact, my buddy, former Razorback Tim Carver, actually just texted me, and he said, in 2009, we were the only school to bus to Omaha back then when they went to the College World Series. So, I mean, oof. that's
rough. They just take pride in hosting this event. You know, unless they flew charter, if Arkansas flew commercial, you could probably bus it faster. Unless you had a private plane that just could go from Drake Field to Omaha.
Yeah.
You can bus it faster because you can't connect through Dallas or connect through, you know, wherever you're going. Because XNA is only going to fly you to, what? I don't fly out of there enough. Chicago, Atlanta, and Dallas. You know, you're
pretty much.
Pretty much to one of those three places. You know, so then you're going to catch a connect. And I, you know, unless they get a private, and the NCAA pays for your travel. So, you know, you just don't, or at least that's how it's been in recent years. Or, you know, when you hear schools talk about it, the NCAA reimburses for your travel. And they have guidelines on how you travel based on where you're at. So, you know. They may be bussing again this year, for all I know.
Yeah. This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
We have Tommy and Tyler both in with us today, and I know that we were talking a little bit about and comparing it maybe to the College World Series to other sports, because it's really hard because you're basically in the final eight. You're one of the eight teams, best teams in all of college baseball, that is playing for a national title. Now, college football is a little different. Now, I know we have the playoff system, but those are only four teams. And before that, you didn't even have that. You just two teams in postseason play, only two teams were playing for the national championship. And then in basketball, you have a field of 68 teams that are all trying to get to the same way. So as far as looking at it across the board of comparing what it means to go to the College World Series and how big of a deal is that, from the football perspective, I mean, what level is that comparative to?
Well, one of the things I brought up is, okay, I mean, how many times in the history of the program have you been in the Elite Eight of anything? And, you know, I mean, you go back, obviously, the two times you go to the Final Four in 94, 95, and then I'm sure there's, you know, Elite Eight performances and times back in Sutton's time. You go back and do the math. In basketball, there's probably been, I don't know, 5 to 10 times in the history, you know, somewhere in that ballpark. And you look at football, there's probably been, I don't know, 5 to 10 seasons where you've been in the Elite Eight. And then baseball, you've seen, you know, the College World Series, you know, appearances since Dave Van Horn's been here, and then obviously with Norm. So, you know, I think it's rare. I mean, you're talking 15 seasons total in the history of the program for those three particular sports where you can say that at the end of the year, after all things are said and done, this isn't preseason ranking, this isn't midseason ranking, this is at the end of the year when you've got how many men standing, that you're one of the top eight programs in what you do. And that's how rare it is here at the University of Arkansas. And we'll get that number. I'll try to dig that some of that up. But I think that's kind of the ballpark of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. You know, and that's why we were talking yesterday. Sit back and enjoy this. I mean, because while the baseball program is certainly under Dave, and I know Norm had gotten to four, and they were kind of scattered over, you know, 1-79 and then three College World Series appearances in the 80s. You went through since from 89, because they went, 85, 87, 89 were the last three for Norm. Then you spent a decade, or decade and a half, if you will, until Van Horn got him there in 04. You didn't get to go to the College World Series. And then Dave's been there in 04, 09, 12, 15, and now back in 18. Dave's gotten the program to a point where there's not these long stretches and long droughts. Every 3 to 5 seasons, you're back in Omaha. So don't get to, you know, my point is don't take it for granted, particularly with a team like this, because we've been trying to figure out how to get the basketball program back to 94 for, you know, 25 years or whatever now, you know, 20-something years. And this could be the season that, you know, finally you've knocked on the door so many times in Omaha, maybe you get through and you leave there with the big trophy and you're the national champion. Just enjoy it, because these type of moments, as Tyler, I think this is what you're trying to say, these type of moments at Arkansas are so rare. And soak it up and enjoy it, because a lot of fans get so caught up in the semantics of some of these things, they forget to enjoy what we're actually getting to experience as a fan base.
That's right. And you know, you can rattle off the, you know, the fan bases in college athletics that have had droughts of joy, I guess. You know, Arkansas is probably one of those fan bases that's up there. And today, we're not in that category. And today, you know, we don't stink right now. That's a quote from one of my favorite movies. It's For Love of the Game. He said, you know, we don't stink right now because of you. We're the best team in baseball right now because of you. And I think, you know, we've got some of those guys that allow you to be in that conversation. Blaine Knight's one of them. You feel, as long as he's on the mound, that you've got a chance. You've got a lineup A to Z that doesn't have a whole lot of holes in that. I mean, we discussed, you know, that last week, John. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just feel like you've got a chance regardless of who you go up against. And there's no fear with this baseball team and any team you play. And whether that's Texas, whether that's Texas Tech, whether that's any of these guys in this group eight or group of seven, you know, competitors, that you feel like you'd run up there and compete the heck against out of all of them. So, you know, I think the feeling of you know, this team special definitely exists here at Arkansas.
Yeah, and all, you know, it's kind of unique. I say it's unique. I mean, it's true for the other three teams in your half and your four team bracket. You know, you've all played each other at some point this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you played Texas twice earlier in the year in Fayetteville. You won those two games. You played Florida, four times this year?
Right.
Three in the regular season, went 1-2 down there, beat them once in the SEC tournament. And then Texas Tech came into Fayetteville, what was supposed to have been two, and you only got to play one because of weather, and you won that one game. So these teams are somewhat familiar with it. I'd say the one thing that probably counts the Florida probably has a little more weight because those were conference games and you got to see their weekend pitchers. At the Texas game, I don't remember exactly who pitched in those games. The Texas Tech game was midweek, so that probably counts for a little less, but you know their batters. You get to see them offensively. So, but at least you know these guys, and you have a scouting report you can go back to, and at least a starting point and getting ready for whatever games are ahead of you.
No, that's a good thing, too, because, you know, you mentioned the midweek games. I thought that was something that a lot of people were talking about, too, because, you know, Arkansas didn't see their best pitchers, but, you know, they didn't see Arkansas's best pitchers either. So, you know, with that Texas Tech series especially, there was supposedly, and I think they still are for sure, an offensive-driven team. Not to say they don't have any pitching, but they're definitely known for their offense. But Arkansas held them in check for the most part as far as their offense even went, throwing not Blaine Knight, not Casey Murphy, not any of those guys, throwing a midweek guy. So, you know, that I think also adds to the expectation, too, where it's like, hey, you faced those teams before. you have a winning record against all of them, essentially. I know Florida you went 2-2 against, but you didn't lose a game against the other two. So if you're able to do that, why can't you do it again? You obviously showed you're the better team, so why can't you do it again too? So, you know, it's just a matter of perspective and how you look at it too. You don't want to overlook them, but you also want to feel confident in going in against those teams and say, you know what, we've done this before, we can do it again. We know what their strengths are, we know what the weaknesses are. It's just about exploiting those and trying to find ways to get through it. But that's, again, another reason why Arkansas's chances and why fans are putting the expectation on them to win it all, or at least to really advance far into it, is just because, hey, we've seen this before. It's just a matter of doing it again. But this time it's on a little bit bigger stage of doing it in the College World Series.
No, I mean, and these are not the same teams.
Not at all.
I mean, you know what I mean. You look particularly on the other side of the bracket. Is Mississippi State the same team they were back when, say, Arkansas played Texas?
No.
I mean, they're a much different team. Are they a team that concerns if you end up playing them in another best of three for the national championship? Maybe, because you didn't beat them at all this year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's some teams on that other half of the bracket you didn't see at all. But, you know, I like Arkansas's draw. I like their position. There's not a team in their regional. And it comes back to just the same principles and philosophies of what you're trying to accomplish in a regional. You got to go out and win your first two. Now, the difference is you get a little more rest in between starts. So, you know, you can manage your pitching a little different. It'll be interesting to see how they do that. Obviously, you know, you expect Blaine Knight, you know, in game one, and that's what you're going to get against Texas. But then if you win that game, you know, how you set up the rest of the track through becomes a little interesting, because it's not like a regional where you're going to play the next day and you may face two games in one day. You get a lot more time in between games. So, but if you can win your first two, if Knight can win, and then if Murphy can have a good start, then you're in a great spot to play for it all. It's same as a regional. You're basically playing a regional to play a super regional to win the national championship. That's more or less the format.
Yep, those first couple of games are going to be crucial for Arkansas's chances of
just
winning
like
the national
in a
championship. That's right. I mean, it's set up the same way, but again, this time you're in Omaha. You're not at Bomb Stadium. So how will Arkansas play off of that being away from home?
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
All right, I'll go ahead and kick off What's Your Beef Wednesday. And again, that if you have any beefs that you would like to share, if whether it's someone you're beefing with or what you're beefing with, be sure to call in 877-377-6963 or tweet at us at Morning Rush Show. I want to start off with this because I understand that at marketing departments and when there's media members for respective schools, you know, you always want to be positive and you want to put out positive messages and really just show how awesome your school really is compared to all the other schools. Well, the thing I was beefing with today was this actually wasn't coming from the official University of Texas baseball account or anything like that. It was actually coming from some of the media that cover Texas. But they put out this tweet that was getting a lot of traction from some Razorback fans and Texas Longhorn fans, too. They said, "I need to say this. There is no other fan base in the country that would pack or could pack 8,000 people into a stadium at noon on a Monday with another 2,000 people in the parking lots boozing it up. Texas baseball stood up." And when I hear that, it just kind of makes me laugh, because you saw the same thing when it came to Oregon State, when they had their baseball day. Hey, you set a record for 4,000 people at a baseball game. Maybe it's just because I'm cocky about it all, but when I see that and you look at it, Arkansas, it's like, man, 4,000 people would be a terrible attendance for a midweek game when it comes to Razorback baseball and the level they're at. And the fact that Texas was bragging about the fact they got 8,000 people into a super regional game, when you're Texas and you've been to the College World Series more than anybody else and you've won all these national titles in baseball, you're bragging about it, but yet a place like Arkansas, no. They don't really get some of the recognition that they probably should. I know some of the national guys have it, but when you see that, you're like, hey, as a Razorback fan, that kind of makes you a little proud, makes you stick out your chest a little bit and say, you know what? We're better than even that Texas Longhorn stuff that they got going on with their College World Series and their national championships. Even they can't get to the amount of people that we can here at, quote, little old Arkansas.
I think it tells you where most of the world of college baseball is, and it tells you that you really do have an elite program in Fayetteville. And I think it's just another indicator when you have nearly, I mean, just a hair under 90,000 people attend your postseason events, you're an elite program, you know. So, you know, it's just another indicator of baseball's on another level in the SEC, and it's on another, and Arkansas's in the top third of the league when it comes to baseball, and probably a top two or three program in this conference all around. Facilities, winning, tradition, coach, the whole package, the whole ball of wax. Arkansas's amongst, I'd say, the top two or three in the league. And Tyler, that probably puts Arkansas in the top 10 for sure, maybe top five or six programs in the country in baseball.
Yeah, and you know you're right. I kind of don't like the little quote unquote John. You've been using little Arkansas. I don't see it that way. I don't think that way. That hadn't been in my vocabulary, even though that maybe other people outside the state think of it as that way, and some people inside the state. But you know, I think that indicator in terms of attendance, that indicator in terms of I think Nick kept saying it last week, you know, what other venue, what other sport, what other program sells 120% of the capacity of a particular stadium? And you see that in Baum Stadium, and you've seen it time and time again. It's not just during the regional, not just when it matters, but you see it in weekend performances during your SEC games, that you see this fan base come out and support baseball unlike any other place in the country, including Texas, including you know, some of the quote-unquote elite programs in the sport. It definitely puts you in the same category. We are elite in this sport. You are one of the blue bloods within the last 10 or 15 years of college baseball. And you know, so from my vantage point, and I think from that perspective, no, in this sport, with what we've got and the resources we've got to recruit, the facilities, you're nowhere near little old Arkansas. From my vantage point, you're an absolute power in the sport of baseball and several of the other ones. I think it's a matter of changing people's perception, and I don't know how you get the national respect. The way you get national respect is you go in this weekend and you find a way to come out on top and win a national championship. That's how you get people's respect. And how you get on the radar.
It's easier said than done, but there's no question that the only thing Arkansas is missing is that national championship.
You know, and I think you know, you do that, the cameras show up in Fayetteville more than they have at this point. I mean, it's just natural. I think people from the West Coast, people on really either side of the United States, look at Fayetteville, Arkansas as a baseball power. Unlike they've maybe recognized that they're a really good baseball program, but not a national championship type program. And I think at this point, you know, this is your opportunity to kind of coin that.
No doubt about it. All right, Tommy, go ahead and educate the people on what you're beefing with today.
When you go to a baseball game, particularly a postseason baseball game where it's all on the line, have the courtesy, if you're going to get up for your 14th hot dog or your third water or your 19th nacho or whatever it is you're getting up again for, can we not do it during the middle of an at-bat? And I know this seems, you know, old crotchety guy, but it was so frustrating throughout the entire weekend of watching the Super Regional. People that just simply don't get it, you know, that they're up and down, which is fine. It was hot. You needed drinks, and if you had family, I get that. But do you have to do it when it's a 2-2 count with two men on? You know what I'm saying? There is a certain etiquette, and Tyler gets this with golf. I get it with golf. You know, you stand in a certain place when someone's hitting. You don't stand right behind them. You stand to the side. You know, there's certain etiquettes in sports. I think there's certain etiquette you should follow in baseball that, hey, if you're going to get up to go get that bottle of water, that's fine. Can you wait till at least that at bat is and slip out real quick before the next batter comes up when there's a natural lull in the game? Not when the pitcher's not when Blaine Knight's in the middle of the windup on a 3-2 pitch with two outs with a man at third in a critical spot in the fifth inning here.
But Tommy, she, I mean, you know.
Because you've been to your, this got, is your, and then you come back and you
sweating,
sit down. And,
Tommy, and she's, yeah, I know, she's and in it, your ear and she's going, I'm dying of thirst. I'm dying of thirst. You don't
you
get it right
wait
now.
12 more seconds. And then don't come back and say, did we get that point? Did they get that point? They're runs. They're not points.
Okay, well, Tommy, I obviously see that you had an experience over the weekend.
No, it wasn't, you know, because.
No, it wasn't this weekend. It was when I was with him last
No, it was
last
not you. It was not you last weekend. It was just every time you were, you know, trying to watch and real, because baseball is one of those, you know, 3-2, two outs, and you're watching, and you're kind of, you're sitting forward in your seat, and then they foul one off, and you relax for a second. Then, you know, here comes another pitch, and they foul another one off. And it's like, you know, you're up, then you're down. You're up, you emotionally, because you're locked in. You're locked, you know, you relax for a second. You lock back in. And then you got these, about the time you're trying to get zoned in on what's going to happen here in this, because baseball is it's a bunch of action in small little bites, right? Because you don't, if you miss a half a second, you miss the whole play a lot of times. And you got some goober standing up to go get another popcorn right in the middle of the pitch. I'm just saying there are times and places where that's when you get up and go, and when you don't get up and go. And I just think we need to learn that because we are an elite program, right?
That's right.
We are an elite fan base, right?
That's right.
We got to act like it.
Well, somebody's got to teach the etiquette, and you know, that's...
Am I wrong about this?
No, I completely agree. There are some, because it's not just in baseball, there's other sports too,
and
where no one knows these rules, and it frustrates you because you're like, okay, is this your first time out here? Like,
right.
do you not know what's going on?
I'm not suggesting that, hey, you need to wait till we got three outs and we're in the middle of the inning.
Need to pee your pants. I'm not
suggesting that. I'm just suggesting, can we wait till this particular at-bat has come to a conclusion and they're bringing the next batter to the plate, or that batter's got, because there is that 10 or 15 second interval there where you can easily slip out and not interrupt anyone's viewing of the game.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree
with
you.
And it was all day, all night long, because I believe you get a lot of people that seek out tickets for super regionals and postseason play that haven't been, I bet, to one game all year, two games all year. But by God, it's a big event. It's a big deal. So they're hungry for tickets, and they show up. They don't know how to behave.
Yeah. No, there's got to be some type of solution for that. You know, you got just a little bit. I do want to get Chris in Springdale on the phone line. Chris has been patiently holding, wanting to get in on his baseball beef. Chris, what's going on, man?
Talking about what Tommy was talking about a while ago, building on that, did anybody else hear Chris Burke the other night? I don't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night or the Sunday afternoon game. He said, put a point on the board as well. And I'm thinking, come on, Berkey. You're a former major league player, and you are an announcer. Really? Really? A point for baseball. That's in the grand scheme of life, it don't really mean a hill of beans. But as a baseball fan, that irks me just about as much as anything you can say during a baseball game. And I'm kind of a half butt announcer. Don't want to say the other word on the air, but I've announced my fair share of high school basketball and football games, and even some baseball games. And the one thing that you know is you don't say point for baseball. If you can't come up with anything better, just don't say anything at all.
How about hind
catcher? It
just
sounds so corny. Do what? Hind catcher?
Hind catcher? That's you don't say that on the air, do you?
No, you don't say that on the air, too. But another beef, and this is with the NCAA baseball in the postseason. If you are the national seed and you have that great year and you have earned – that right to play in your ballpark for a three-game series, you are never the road team. I don't care what it means about neutral or whatever they want to say.
Yep.
Bunch of idiots at the NCAA making rules anyway. That's another story. But you do not make the team that's hosting the Super Regional put on their road grays and bat first in the ninth inning.
Here,
you
here.
Just no. don't do that. And the other gripe that I have about postseason play is, and it goes along with that, maybe it's a small thing, but it's my thing. Don't move the season ticket holders that have been to all the games and paid good money for the good seats. Don't move them all the way out by the bullpen. Let the visiting team that didn't earn that right, that didn't have the same year that you have, I'm not saying don't give them tickets. I'm saying give them their allotted tickets, but stick them out in the outfield down by the bullpen. Let the people that have had season tickets and been to all the games and paid the good money for the good tickets all year long, let them sit in their seats that they paid for all year long, you know, behind the dugout or whatever, and don't move them just because there's some South Carolina fans that want to come to the game. That's great. I'm glad that they get to come to the game, but don't give them the great seat. Anyway, that's my beef, and you guys have a good day.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.